1-800-366-9673 or visit livingword.org on the internet. All profits from tape sales are used to purchase radio time to spread the living word around the world. And now, here's Brother Bob Russell.
Mother's Day is really important to mothers. In case you haven't caught on by now, men, let me repeat that for you. Mother's Day is a big deal to almost every mother. Even the most phlegmatic, laid-back, understanding mothers expect to be honored today with special attention. And if you stop and think about it, you can understand why. This woman sacrifices her time and energy 364 days out of the year for her family. And she often feels like she's taken for granted. And frankly, she is. And sometimes she feels sorry for herself, and frankly, she has a reason to. I like the cartoon that shows a mother standing in a living room that is absolutely chaotic. Everything's in disarray. She got a baby in one arm crying. Another child is scribbling on the wall. The dog's chasing the cat. Her husband has just walked in the door with his briefcase. He's bug-eyed at all the disarray. And the wife snarls, "Every day you ask me what I do all day long, and today I didn't do it, and here it is." The fifth commandment reads, "Honor your father and your mother." To honor simply means to value, to show tribute and respect. And that responsibility to honor your mother begins when you're a child and it really continues until the day you die. Jesus Christ set the example for us about how to honor our mother at various stages of life. So today, let's consider how Jesus honored Mary on several different occasions, and let's be determined to follow in his steps. Turn in your Bibles to Luke, the second chapter, verse 51. There's only one story about Jesus as a child, but it is an enlightening one. Jesus was 12 years of age when he went with his parents to the temple in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. It was an annual trip of about 100 miles if they took the normal route around Samaria. They usually traveled in groups so that it would take probably 4 or 5 days one way to walk it. The boy Jesus had always proven responsible, so the parents trusted him. When the contingent from Nazareth started home, Mary assumed that Jesus was with his father in the advance group, and Joseph assumed that Jesus was with his mother following up. At the end of the first day, when they set up camp, they discovered that Jesus was not there. The longer they searched, the more concerned they became. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting with the teachers of the law, discussing deep questions with them, and amazing everybody with his understanding and his answers. But his parents weren't impressed. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "Why did you need to search?" he said. "Didn't you know that I would be here in my father's house, the temple?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Now, the verse that I want you to see is verse 51 of Luke 2. "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them." Jesus knew that he was gifted. He knew he had a special calling from God that was even beyond his parents' understanding. And yet, in his teenage years, he was obedient and respectful to his parents. Teenagers, you walk in the steps of Jesus Christ and you honor your mother by mature obedience. It's great to give your mother a card or a gift for Mother's Day, but I guarantee you that what would mean more to her is for you to be mature enough to obey her basic instructions 365 times a year. You obey first time she asks. You even go beyond and do more than is expected. You see, the teenage years are usually the most difficult for a mother to endure. Somebody said, "Adolescence is nature's way of preparing parents to welcome the empty nest." So it's tough for your mother, but when you obey, you bring honor to your mother, and more importantly, you're being obedient to God. Listen to this passage of Scripture from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." And here's the commandment, verse 3, "that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." It will go well with you. Let's say you're 15 years old, and you're out with some friends on Friday night, and your mother says, I want you in by 11 o'clock. But you come sneaking in at midnight. She's waiting up for you. She's irate. You exchange words. You don't trust me. You're not responsible. The next morning, your mother's still a little ticked off. She comes into the room at 9 o'clock when you're in bed, says, I want you out of that bed right now. I want you to clean up this room. It is a pigsty. And you grumble on the phone to some of your friends about how abused you are as a child. It's not going well with you. Then later that afternoon, you say to your mother, Mom, some friends of mine are going over to Tinseltown tonight, and I'd like to go with them. I need about $25. And she explodes. No, you can't go tonight. No, you can't have $25. You come in late last night and disobey me, and then you pout all day long, and you're way you clean up your room like a four-year-old. You're staying home, get ready for church tomorrow. It's not going well with you. But just think how much better your life would go if you were not only obedient, but you were mature enough to do the extra things. You're supposed to be in 11 o'clock on Friday night. You come in at 10 o'clock. And your mother says, weren't you having a good time? Oh, I was having a great time. I just want to come home and spend some time with you. Next morning, you get up at 8 o'clock. You start cleaning your room. You put a little Barry Manilow CD in the background. You clean the garage. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you say, Mom, there's some kids who want to go to Tinseltown tonight, but I need $25 to go. I know that's expensive. I'll not go if you don't want me to. She says, oh, no, you go. You stay out as late as you want. Here's $50. You have a good time. Now, I take it from your reaction, you think that's a little exaggerated. Probably so. But think about how much better it would go with you if you obeyed with grace and did the little extra things to help around the house. Obedience as a teenager honors your mother and follows in the footsteps of Jesus. The next interaction that we read about between Jesus and his mother is in John, the second chapter. This occurs at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, 18 years later. We don't have any information about Jesus between 12 and 30. Luke 2:52 just says he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. But apparently his earthly father, Joseph, died sometime during Jesus' teenage years because we never read about Joseph again, and Mary is always by herself. So the boy Jesus knew what it was to grieve and to cry himself to sleep at night because his dad died. Evidently, that's why he remained in the carpenter's shop until he was 30. He was providing for his mother and his younger brothers and sisters. So the young man Jesus knew what it was to do manual labor, to transact business, to deal with people who cheated him. In fact, the Bible says there's no experience that is common to man, but what the Son of Man has not gone through it. But at age 30, Jesus turned over the carpenter's tools to his younger brothers, got baptized, and announced the beginning of his ministry. A few days later, he and his family were the guests at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And at the reception, which in those days sometimes lasted as long as a week, the host ran short of refreshments. And John 2:3 reads, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. And Jesus' answer in verse 4 is, dear woman, why do you involve me? Leon Morris, in his New International Commentary, says, woman is not as cold in the Greek as it is in English. He uses it in his last moments as he hangs on the cross when he says, calls Mary woman again. But bear in mind that it's most unusual to find it when a son addresses his mother. There appear to be no other examples in the Bible. The fact, he says, that Jesus calls Mary woman and not mother probably indicates that there is a new relationship between them as he enters his public ministry. The rest of Jesus' words make it kind of clear that there's a barrier somewhat between them. And so Jesus in his public ministry was saying, I'm not primarily only the son of Mary, I am the son of God. I'm to bring the realities of heaven to men. A new relationship is starting here. You see, Jesus was asserting his independence from his mother. He wasn't bound by her wishes anymore. And he's saying, your agenda is not necessarily my agenda. And then he adds, my time has not yet come. In other words, it wasn't time to fully disclose his identity. And verse 5, his mother said to the servants, you just do whatever he tells you to do. It's as though she said, I'm not sure what he's talking about, but if anybody can help, he can help. I have that kind of confidence in him. You just do what he tells you to do. And you know that Jesus then responded with his very first miracle, the turning of water into wine, and the host and everybody involved was delighted. And the Bible says, thus he revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. There will be some times in your adult life when you feel like your mother is interfering with you. You've completed school, you've left home, you've established your family, and yet your mother sometimes subtly tries to tell you what to do. Somebody said no matter how old a mother is, she watches her middle-aged children for signs of improvement. Somebody told me that in the television sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond, his mother lives right next door and is always interfering. And Raymond bends over backwards to try to keep her happy. Even when she tries to be nice, she offends her daughter-in-law. Oh, I can understand why you're in such a bad mood, she says. Your house is such a mess. Now, when that happens, it can unnerve you a little bit, disturb you. Sometimes, frankly, it's your mother's fault. She's overbearing a little bit. She's domineering, and you have to be mature enough to ignore it and go on. Sometimes it's your fault. Maybe you need to establish your independence better. Maybe you act like a child around her, and so she treats you like a child. Or you're so afraid of alienating her, you allow her to manipulate you. Maybe you just got to have the courage to say, no, Mom, we're not coming home for Thanksgiving this year. We may not be home for Thanksgiving next year. We may be going someplace, but every other year, at least we're going to be going to the in-laws. And there'll be a cooling of the relationship, but there'll be a transition from adult to child to adult, and that'll be better. Sometimes, though, when your mother seems to be interfering, she's right. Maybe she doesn't communicate it as tactfully or gently as you would like, but maybe she knows what she's talking about, and you need her reprimand. You can still use her wisdom. Steve Chapman spoke to the men's wild game feed several weeks ago. He and his wife Annie have been frequent musical guests of our church. Steve said that he had a godly Pentecostal mother. Said she didn't just pray, she had conversations with God. But he said when he went off to college, he jettisoned all her beliefs, became a hippie, he got into everything. Came home one summer, and his parents went on a week's vacation, left him home alone. He decided that while they were gone, he'd take out his little pipe and smoke a little marijuana while they were gone. He said, I can't believe that I defiled that sacred home, but I did. He said, when I got finished, I took some pipe cleaner, cleaned the pipe, and then I thought, what am I going to do with these little wires? I don't want my mom to find them. So he said, I rolled them up in a ball. I wrapped them in a napkin. I stuck them down the bottom of a soup can. Then I put some more napkins on top of that soup can, stuck it in the bottom of the garbage can. My parents came home that night. He said, 8 o'clock the next morning, my mother came in and sat on the edge of my bed. And she said, Steve, what were you doing with that pipe cleaner? He said, Mother, how in the world did you find that? She said, God told me where they were. You know, some of you have had godly mothers, and you strayed from the faith she imparted to you. And she's always looking for some way to pull you back into living right. And I want to tell you, one of the most selfish, hurtful things you can do is to ridicule her faith, belittle her counsel. You not only are blaspheming God, you are wounding daily the heart of your mother. And if you have a godly mother who has refused to quit on you, you be grateful. It just may be her prayers that have spared you the wrath of God. It may be her reminders that will bring you back to God's will and save you for eternity. And chances are you need to listen to her before it's too late. Proverbs 15:20 says, it is a foolish man who despises his mother. Jesus turned water into wine to help the host, but also to be respectful of his mother's desires, even though it seemed she was imposing a bit. And we would be wise to follow in his steps. Now turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, the third chapter. And here we read an incident between Jesus and his mother where she was completely wrong about him. Mark 3, verse 20 and 21 read, "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, 'He's out of his mind.'" Keep in mind that Jesus' popularity was beginning to snowball. The whole area was buzzing about this man being the Messiah, so big crowds followed him. But when the family heard about what was taking place, they were disturbed. The Message paraphrases it. They suspected that he was getting carried away with himself. We read later that Jesus' brothers did not believe in him until he had been risen from the dead. You know, sometimes hard for family or for close friends to accept that somebody they know is really special. The Bible says, Matthew 13, that the people were amazed. "Where did this man get this wisdom, these miraculous powers?" they asked. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did he get all these things?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said, "Only in his hometown, in his own home, is a prophet without honor." So Jesus' brothers were offended by the inference that he was the Messiah, and they came to take charge of him. They thought, "He's out of his mind." And they brought Mary with them. They must have persuaded her that Jesus' life was endangered because she went along with their efforts to rescue him. Maybe she thought, "He needs to go home for a rest. He's not getting anything to eat. We can nurse him back to health." Mark 3, 31 reads, "Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, 'Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you.' 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother.'" Now, Jesus could have publicly humiliated his mother, or he could have privately chastised her. He could have said, "Mother, how many times have you told people that you were visited by an angel before I was born, and that the reason you became pregnant out of wedlock was because the Holy Spirit said you're going to give birth to the Messiah? How many times did you whisper in my ear that I was a special child, and now you treat me like this? I'm so humiliated. How could you do this?" But instead, he calmly stood his ground, affirmed that those who were closest to him were his real family, and he waited until he could be vindicated in time. Folks, there are going to be some times when your mother's wrong. When we're young, we idolize our parents. We think they're perfect, but then there comes a day when we discover our parents have feet of clay. She wasn't a perfect mother. She wasn't a perfect mate. She wasn't a perfect Christian. Someone said, usually the four people you have the most difficulty forgiving are your mother, your father, yourself, and your God. You'll forgive strangers quicker than those closest to you because you're so hurt that they have not met your unrealistic expectations. So in the teenage years, we often go to the opposite extreme and see our parents as total bunglers. But maturity comes when you forgive your parents their fallibility, but still appreciate the invaluable contribution they've made to your life. Folks, don't be bitter all your life and blame your mother for all your problems because she wasn't perfect. Welcome to the real world. You forgive her. But don't allow her ongoing erroneous influence to divert you from walking in obedience to God. There may be times when you've got to admit, "My mother was just wrong." Maybe she doesn't share your spiritual values right now and she criticizes you, thinks you've lost your mind because you were baptized or you changed churches or you're giving away so much money or you're rearing your kids the way you are. Jesus sets a positive example of how we ought to respond in that circumstance. He just did the right thing, developed other relationships, and waited, knowing in the end the truth would prevail. Acts 1:14 reports that following Jesus' death and resurrection, in the early church, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Mary had witnessed the resurrection of Christ from the dead. She was there at the beginning of the early church. Her claims of the virgin birth and the promise from an angel were now proven to be true. She had to wait 33 years for her story to be vindicated, but it was. And now she knew Jesus wasn't out of his mind. He was telling the truth. She knew the truth, and the truth had set her free. But when she was wrong, Jesus had been understanding and respectful, and he just did what was right. And we would do well to follow in his steps. Turn to one final passage, John 19, verse 25. Here Jesus shows another way to honor your mother is to make sure that she has care and provision when she is in need. John 19, 25 reads, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother." Now Mary must have been maybe in her early 50s at this time. She wasn't aged, but she was living alone as a widow. And verse 26 reads, "When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved." Interesting that though Jesus died alone, the two people he probably loved more than anybody else were there at the cross, John and his mother. And he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here's your son," and to the disciple, "Here's your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now notice that Jesus made provision for his mother to be cared for after he died. For some reason, his brothers and sisters were not capable of taking care of Mary. Were their homes too small? Were their children too numerous? Were their incomes too meager? We don't know. But John had the capability of caring for her, and John shared her spiritual convictions. So Jesus entrusted to John the responsibility of caring for his mother after he was gone. Part of caring for your mother is to make sure that she's provided for when she can't provide for herself. That might mean seeing that they're your parents' needs are met in case you should die before they do, as did Jesus. It might mean pitching in with the resources so that your mother can live her final years in dignity. It might mean showing tender love and care when her health or mental faculties begin to fail. Dave Kennedy, on staff of this church, has a mother 80 years old in the nursing home, severe Alzheimer's. She usually doesn't even recognize him. He told me this past week, "I couldn't decide whether to buy my mother a Mother's Day card. She can't read it. She wouldn't know who it was from and wouldn't remember it. But he said, I decided to buy her one because I need to. And she's still my mom. And I still need to honor her." Leviticus 19:32 says, "Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God." So men, honor your mother today and your wife. She deserves it for the sacrifices she has made. Honor her children with mature obedience through the difficult teen years, and it will go well with you. And when you become an adult, honor her by asserting your independence, but respectfully receiving her ideas, even though it may seem she's interfering. And if your mother doesn't understand your spiritual commitment, you stand firm in your convictions and lovingly show her the truth in time. About 3 months ago, I had the privilege of meeting David and Peggy Beamer, the parents of Todd Beamer. Todd Beamer's story is pretty well known. On September 11th, he was aboard Flight 93 when it was hijacked by terrorists, and Todd and several others charged the cockpit, forced the plane to crash in a Pennsylvania field rather than crash into a building along Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. Before saying, "Let's roll," and attacking the terrorist, Todd attempted to call his wife Lisa, with whom he had graduated from Wheaton College, and say goodbye. Couldn't get through to her, so he got a hold of the GTE airphone operator, asked her to pass along a message to his wife. And then you recall reading the story of how he asked the operator to pray the Lord's Prayer with him. And she did. I was speaking somewhere, and Peggy and David Beamer, Todd's parents, were giving a testimony at the same meeting. And I'll tell you, they are wonderful Christian people. And I knew that Todd learned the Lord's Prayer at his mother's knee when he was a little boy. They read the Bible around the kitchen table. They took him to church every Sunday. They taught him spiritual values. But afterward, I talked with Peggy Beamer for quite a while. And as she talked about her son, she just fought back tears, naturally. But there was another side that was undeniable. She was so proud of her son that he had given his life for his country, that he had had the courage to stand up for Jesus Christ in his final moments. And she was so confident that he was in heaven and she was going to see him someday. Let me ask you, if you were killed in an accident today, would your mother feel that way about you? 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. If you had a godly mother, the greatest way you can honor her is to be a Christian and to plan to spend eternity with her and with Christ. And if you are wandering away from God right now and you are lost, I guarantee you, He's searching after you and He's calling your name and begging you to come back.
You've been listening to The Living Word with Brother Bob Russell from Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Today's Living Word message was take number 2498, How to Honor Your Mother. If you'd like information about this or any other Living Word sermon series, give our toll-free number a call. It's 1-800-366-9673. That's 1-800-366-9673. Or visit livingword.org on the Internet. The Living Word is a listener-supported program. Thank you for your continued support. And please listen again next time for another edition of The Living Word.